Open up to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 18, and we'll continue from last week right where we left off. You guys doing good? You guys ready to continue worshiping the Lord?
Yeah.
All right. Some of you are excited. Good. Well, let's pray. Father God, we come before you. But we just ask that right now, Father, as we are ready, we're attentive, we're excited to hear your word this morning, Father, I ask that you speak to us, Lord Jesus, that you open up our hearts right now. You put away all distractions. You allow us to focus on you, Lord, and focus on what you have prepared for us this morning. And as we hear, as we read your word, I ask that you help us write these truths on the tablet of our hearts and that we never forget them, Lord. We live better for you, Father God. And Lord, I just pray as we learn this morning that we can, Lord, we can apply these things to our lives. So we know that you will answer these requests, Lord, because we ask in your Son's name, Jesus, Father God. And everybody said, amen. Has anybody... Does anybody know what a masquerade ball is? Anybody been to like a masquerade ball? One person? Two people? Three? Couple? Four? Couple? Yeah, there's one, Aiden. If you guys have never been to one, I'll explain it to you. Basically what it is, you know, people gather around in a ballroom and stuff like that, and it's essentially it's a dance. And people get together and they wear these beautiful clothes and these fancy clothes. The women wear these, you know, big dresses are lavish and has a bunch of, you know, stuff all over them and it's all decorated and they're really beautiful. And the guys, you know, dress up in suits. They look really snazzy, look really, really nice, expensive suits. And the thing that sets everybody apart as well, or I should say actually that everybody looks the same, is everybody's wearing masks. Okay, and like this woman here. And they wear different types of masks. They wear masks like that, or they wear masks of different shape. But the point is, people go to this ball, and everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's masquerading as something, you know, that they really aren't. And nobody knows who they are, and it's a good time. Everybody's dancing, having fun, but you don't really know who anybody is because either they're covering their whole face or it's covering part of their face, and they're wearing all these masks. But this morning in our passage, we're going to find out about people that wear masks, I guess in a sense, who attend masquerades, and let's read it, starting in verse 18, and see what we read this morning. And then the disciples, I'm sorry, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. So right now, we see Jesus, he's heading back to the city. He's heading back to Jerusalem. And as we learned last week, he had come from the city Bethpage, right? And he left to go out of the city to go stay with, more than likely, his good friends, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, right? So we find him right now leaving that place, and as he's leaving, he was walking on the side of the road, heading back to the city, and he sees a tree on the side of the road, and it says he's what? He's hungry, right? He's hungry. And like any typical man, right, when they wake up in the morning, what's one of the first things you guys think about? Hopefully, you know, before anything else, it's the Lord, and you want to meet with him first, but what's one of the first things you think of, guys? What's for breakfast? I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat, right? And for me, you know, I like to eat a big breakfast, and then I like to eat sometimes every now and again, like waffles and pancakes, and I get really hungry, and I want to eat a lot. And so, you know, that's how Jesus was. Even though he was God, he was still a man, and he was hungry. He wakes up in the morning, he's like, man, I'm hungry. So as he's walking by the road, he sees this tree, this fig tree. Does anybody know what a fig tree is? Has anybody seen a fig tree before? A few people? Well, I have a picture of a fig tree. And this is actually in the holy city what it would have looked like. So if you can imagine Jesus walking alongside this road in front of these rocks and stuff, and he's looks to his right, and he sees that tree. You can see it right in the middle there. And he says, oh, you know what? This is, looks like a good tree. I'm gonna go get some fruit. Right? And from a distance, he sees this tree, and it's full of leaves. It's green, and it looks really healthy, right? And so when you assume when you see a tree like that, or if you guys come across any trees like this, you know, trees like that that are just green, they're flourishing, they're beautiful, you assume that there's some sort of fruit growing on it, right? Some sort of apple, right? When you guys see trees like that, that's what I think anyway when I see a tree. I mean, it looks good from a distance, right? And you think there's some fruit there or something. And that's what Jesus does. He goes and sees this tree because he's hungry and he wants some fruit. He's like, oh man, that tree looks good. Right? Not the tree looks good, but you know, that tree looks like it's really healthy. It looks like it'd be growing some good fruit. And so he assumes there's fruit. So as he gets closer, as it comes in range with the tree, he sees there's no fruit. It's completely fruitless. It doesn't have anything on it. And what does Jesus do? Kills the tree. Right? He kills the tree. And what does he say? He says, let no fruit grow on this tree ever again, Jesus says. Let this tree is cursed. Right? And I'm sure because Jesus was hungry, you know, that he saw this tree that wasn't bearing any fruit and it looked good. He cursed it. But, you know, why does he do this? And we go into our first point, don't be caught fruitless. But why did Jesus do this? Like I said, I'm sure because he was hungry and he saw this tree and he was upset and he got frustrated because the tree wasn't bearing any fruit and he wanted to eat and he didn't get his fruit. And so he cursed the tree. And that makes me think of myself, you know, and this actually is funny because it happened yesterday morning. But yesterday morning, you know, I was, you know, going over my sermon, things like that, and I was getting hungry, and I see, you know, some cereal, and I want a bowl of cereal. You know, I love cereal. I usually eat oatmeal, too, but, you know, we have cereal, so I was like, I want some cereal. I want some Frosted Flakes. Get some Frosted Flakes. Anybody like Frosted Flakes? I love Frosted Flakes. So I see Frosted Flakes, and I grab a bowl, and I start filling up my bowl, and I'm all excited, and when I eat cereal, especially cereal that I like, well, I guess I don't eat cereal I don't like, but I eat cereal and I pack it. I mean, I don't need to just eat one bowl. I eat like five bowls, all right? So I eat a lot. And so I'm packing this bowl full of cereal and it's filled up to the brim and, you know, it's about to overflow and I'm so excited and I go to the refrigerator assuming that it's there. I open the refrigerator and guess what's not there? Milk's not there. Milk wasn't there. And I was so upset. I mean, I was so mad. I broke the refrigerator door. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't break the door. But when I was upset, And I assumed because I had the cereal there that there was going to be milk there. And the only milk that was there was my wife's milk that she likes. And I don't like that milk. And it's some almond silk milk or whatever. I don't know. And it's supposed to be really good for you. But I don't like that milk. I wanted my milk. But I assumed that I had my milk there because, you know, I had the cereal there. And that's kind of how Jesus felt. He was upset too, you know, and although I didn't break anything or hurt anybody or kill anybody, you know what? Jesus sees this fig tree and he kills it. But I don't think this is the reason why Jesus kills the tree, okay? He doesn't look at the tree just because he's hungry and because it's not bearing any fruit, he kills it because he's mad. That's not why. Right here, he's showing his disciples something. He's showing his disciples an example, okay? He's giving them something to see and take away from as he's cursing this tree. Because a lot of people at this time, especially in Jesus' time, there were people who looked good from a distance, just like that tree. Okay? Just like that tree, that fig tree that Jesus saw, like from a distance, like, man, that tree looks good. Really healthy. There were people like that walking around, especially the Pharisees, right? They were walking around. They looked good on the outside. They were doing all the right things and saying all the right things, but on the inside, they weren't right. They weren't in the right place. And there were a lot of people in Jesus' time like this. They were pretending. People, just like the tree, that were pretending to have fruit and to be bearing much fruit, but really they were completely dry and fruitless on the inside. They had no fruit whatsoever. And Jesus was showing his disciples that this is what happens to people who live their lives not bearing any fruit. Okay? This is what happens to people who don't work at their relationship with Christ, because Jesus obviously thinks it's important to take his relationship with you seriously, and he wants us to take it seriously too. And so he's saying, hey, this is what happens to people who don't bear fruit. They'll die and wither away. Okay? And people that just look good and assume, everybody assumes they look good on the outside and in front of others, and they know all the Bible verses and they know all the songs, and even in here this morning we're singing the songs and we're opening up our Bibles, we're reading the same verses, and we even talk to each other, and you know, we say verses, well, yeah, I'll pray for you, buddy, and we're the nicest people ever, but that we leave and we're completely different people. Completely different people. And we assume, by looking at you guys and seeing you singing, and not just me, I'm just saying all of us, we assume each one of us, we're good, we're all right. So we come to church. And we must be bearing fruit because we're coming to church, we're reading our Bibles now and all this, but it's all a masquerade. It's all playing a part. Okay? And our hearts weren't in the right place. And there were a lot of people like that, especially the religious leaders, right? What would the religious leaders do? They'd walk around thinking that they had everything right. They had it all together, right? What would they wear? What would they put on themselves? They put scriptures, right, all over themselves. And they would have it all over themselves, and they would wear just like a masquerade ball, like these guys and these women wearing just expensive clothes. They wore these expensive robes and beautiful things and lavish things and wearing all these scriptures and everything. And people assumed that they had it all together because they had all these scriptures, and they were teachers of the law. People were like, man, those guys really have it together. They're in important positions, so they must have it all together. They must be bearing much fruit. They look really good, and they have all these scriptures, and the Pharisees walking around and say, yeah, look at all these scriptures, and you see these, and look, John 3:16, I bet you I know it by heart. You want to see? You know, things like that. They were kind of fool themselves, you know, but they looked good on the outside. And there were many people like this in Jesus' time, and Jesus was showing his disciples an example of this, who people were like this. This was also an example of the temple in Jesus' time, right? And if you remember, what did we learn last week? What did Jesus, as he entered the city, what happened? He was riding in on his donkey, right? Right, at that part? He's riding in on his donkey, and what were the people crying out? Hosanna, Hosanna, and praise you, Lord, and all these things. And you know, Jesus is riding in, and essentially when people would ride in on a donkey or on a horse, that usually meant, like, you know, a king is coming, right? Like AJ was saying last week, like somebody of great importance is coming through the city. This is a big deal. So people were throwing their coats on the floor. People were throwing branches on the floor so Jesus wouldn't have to touch the ground with his feet and be walking with his donkey on the ground. And this was, people were crying out, Hosanna. And what did Jesus do right after that? Do you remember last week? What did Jesus do right after that? Where did he go immediately? He went to the temple. What did he do in the temple? He went and he started turning over the tables, right? And he breaking everything and all the tables that they were selling, because people were selling in front of God's house. And Jesus says, this is a house of prayer. This is the Father's house of prayer. But you have made it a den of what? Thieves. He said, you guys are thieves. You come into my Father's house, and what these people were doing, they were taking advantage of people. Okay, they were taking advantage of people, foreigners coming from other lands, and they were thinking, you know what, if we set up here, set up shop here, and we sell all these doves and these lambs so that people will get a chance to get their stuff, you know what I mean? And that's not what they were thinking at all, though, right? It seems like they were doing a good thing, right? Because they were trying to help people. They were trying to help people and wanting them to get their sacrifices and things like that. But they were taking advantage of them. They were selling them for way much more than they were worth. And they weren't even letting Gentiles in. They were blocking the Gentiles out, telling them they couldn't even come in to worship God either. And Jesus saw that, and immediately as he's riding in, And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, Jesus is upset because he knows what's going on in the temple. And he goes over there and he says, you guys have made this a den of robbers. Like it says in the NLT version, a den of thieves. You guys are robbing these people. This is not how you should be acting. And these people were supposed to be good people, right? These people were supposed to be all good on the outside and everything like that. But it was all a show. And this was an example of Jesus cursing the fig tree of the temple as well. Because just like a temple, it looked all good on the outside, a place of worship, but these people were selling all these things. They corrupted it, right? They made it evil, made it bad. They turned it into something that it shouldn't have been. Just like the religious leaders. What did Jesus call the religious leaders? He would call them hypocrites. What else? You whitewashed tombs, he'd say, right? These are whitewashed tombs full of what? Dead man's bones. Anybody ever seen a tomb before? Anybody been in a tomb? When you like go to the cemetery and you see like those houses, but they're like made out of like brick or concrete or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And stone, stuff like that. And it looks really nice on the outside, maybe marble sometimes even. It looks really good. There's flowers everywhere. What happens when you go inside? People are dead people in there, right? It smells. It's horrible. There's people that have died and they're dead. And that's the reality of it. That's what Jesus was calling the Pharisees. Hey, you guys look all good on the outside, but you guys are whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. And that's what Jesus was telling them. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree to show the disciples. This is what happens to people who just play the part, who say that they're in Christ, who say that they're Christians, and people think that they're bearing fruit, but really, they're dead inside. They don't really have fruit inside. And they're eventually going to wither away and die. That's why Jesus says, because first of all, off the bat, this recognizes of Jesus' authority, right? This shows that he's God and he could do whatever he wants. He commands anything and it listens to him. Even a tree listens to God. And we could go on a whole sermon about that. But this is what he was showing them, was this is what happens to people who just pretend and say something that they're not. And people, and I've come across, I've known a lot of people like that. I have family members like that. One example is my sister, sad to say, to this day, you know. But growing up, we grew up in the church, serving in the children's ministry and all this, and she was singing all the songs, and she was, doing all the things, knew all the Bible verses and stuff. I remember a specific time when we were growing up, when we were really little, and she was like, "Hey, Mom, I memorized John 3:16. She says it for God so loved the world, you guys know it. He gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Everlasting life." And then I was like, "Oh, that's cool. I want to know that. I want to know verses too," you know, and I saw that. But then when I would see her talk to her friends and how she would treat us would be completely different. And she changed completely. And she would act a certain way with us and then act a certain way when she wasn't at church or when she wasn't with us. And I'm like, "Who are you? Like, how come you're treating us all bad in this way? And then you talk to your friends all nice and then you come to church and you're like, 'Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll pray for you guys. Oh, God bless you.'" And you would have never known if you saw her. You'd think she was one of the best Christians ever, living the life on fire for God. But yet when she'd go home, she'd run away. She'd be cussing. She'd be having all kinds of boyfriends. She'd be doing all these things. But yet when she'd come to church, she was a completely different person. She was that double-mindedness, right? She was two different people. And she would pretend, she would masquerade as somebody who people thought she was, but she really wasn't inside. She was completely fruitless. Completely fruitless. And I know a lot of people like this. We see a lot of celebrities like that, right? You know Obama calls himself a Christian? Did you know that? He calls himself a Christian. Yet he's for abortion? How can you call yourself a Christian and say it's okay to murder, right? Isn't murder a sin? So how can you call yourself a Christian and it be okay with sin? That's the thing. There's many people like that. Maybe some of us that are sitting in here right now are like that. At one time, I was like that at one time. For a little time, I was like that. But you see, these people had no fruit whatsoever, and they looked good on the outside, just like the Pharisees. They were completely fruitless on the inside. They were dead inside. They were just playing the part. Friends, don't be caught fruitless. Don't be caught fruitless, okay? Because God will not tolerate it. He won't. John 15, 2:6 says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned, Jesus says. He says, hey, if you're not abiding in me, if you're not growing spiritual fruit, if you're into these things and you're claiming to be a Christian, somebody good, and you look all good on the outside, yet you're playing a part and you're a completely different person elsewhere and you're living in the world and you're sinning habitually over and over and over again, but yet you're a completely different person here at church, you're going to be cut off of the vine, Jesus says. You're going to be thrown away, Jesus says. That's scary. That's a big deal. And if we find ourselves doing this, we need to fix that now, not wait any longer. Because I'll tell you right off the bat, God doesn't tolerate that. He says it right there. Jesus is telling us that when you are truly, truly in Christ, you will bear fruit. They'll bear fruit. But if you aren't abiding in him, you'll go down a road that you don't want to go. Eventually, you know, a road that does lead to destruction, a road that does lead to hell. And this is where a lot of people at Jesus' time were as well. Only a little bit before Jesus, Hosea 9:10 says this, like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Okay? Like the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. Hosea's saying this, hey, I saw your fathers. I saw what they were doing. You know, like the grapes on the vine. You know, when you guys see grapes, have you guys ever seen grapes on a vine? You know, they're ripe and they look good, right? They're ready to eat and you could just pluck it off and you can eat it, right? And it's good. That's what Hosea is saying. These guys were like this. You know, you guys were doing good. Like the first fruits on the fig tree, when you see that apple and you know it's ripe and you just pick it and it's so good and you eat it. He said, I saw your fathers. You guys were like this. But he goes on and says, but they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. So he's saying, you guys were doing great. You guys were doing good. But then you go to this city and you start doing all the things they're doing. You start committing adultery. You start worshiping false idols. You start getting involved in sin and you forgot about God. You turned away from God. You claimed to be something and then you went away. How come you didn't tell those people about God? Hosea is saying, I saw your fathers, but yet you guys turned into completely different people and loved the things that they loved. But that's what happens if we're not true believers in Christ. And of course, there's forgiveness. Of course, there's mercy. And God is all about that as well. Absolutely. And I don't want to say that you're going to be completely cut off forever if you, you know, do these things. But what I am saying is if you don't take care of it now, if you don't fix the things that you're going through right now, eventually you can be cut off. And it can lead down a road that you don't want to go. That's what I'm saying. And that's what Jesus showed us by this example of destroying the fig tree. So this is what happens. Because he was upset, right, with all of them. They were praising him, but Jesus, you guys are hypocrites. You guys are putting on a show. You don't care about me. You're selling in front of the temple. You don't care. If we're not truly in Christ, we can be cut off. Everybody knows what fruit is, right? Yeah? You guys, if you guys don't know what fruit is, I'll tell you what fruit is. Apples. Peaches. Grapes. What else? Pomegranates. Mangoes. Bananas. Water? Watermelon? Watermelon? Yeah, tomatoes can be too. All these are fruits, right? All these things are fruits. Well, when we see fruits, you know, this is things that God has created, right? That's pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing thing when you see a tree and it, all of a sudden it grows an apple from it, right? It's pretty cool how creative God was. He allowed food to grow off of a tree. We don't think of it like that though, right? We just, because we're so used to it, that's food that's growing from a tree. It's cool. That's awesome. And it's beautiful. It's a natural creation that nourishes us and we're able to eat. But that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be like a tree that's just abundant in fruit. Abundant in fruit. Beautiful like that. So don't be caught fruitless. Examine yourselves right now. See if you guys have any fruit in your lives. Or maybe you're like, well, Richard, you know, I am a good guy. I'm a good girl. I do good things. You know, I'm loving. I have self-control. I'm pretty faithful. Or, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Well, that may be true, but just like that tree, what happens when you see a tree and there's fruit on it, an apple or whatever, and as soon as it's ripe, what do? You pick it, right? What else, what do you do next? You eat it. And what does it do? It's good, right? You're like, man, that apple was good. Those grapes were good. They're just juicy, and it's amazing. And I wanted some fruit right now. but that's what happens. What happens if you don't pick the fruit? It'll wither away eventually, right? If you leave that fruit on the tree, it's going to rot, right? It's going to be gross, and it's going to get all black, and worms are going to be inside of it, and all these nasty things. But that's what happens. And if we think that we're good people and we have fruit in our lives, and yeah, I'm loving, you know, but we're not praying for those fruits in our lives. We're not saying, Lord, help me to have more self-control. Lord, help me to be more loving. Father, help me to be more kind. Help me to have more patience. Yes, pray for patience. It is a fruit. It's good. These are good things that God wants you to pray for. And when you pray for them, he wants to give you them. He wants us to be that fruitful. But if we just think and think, yeah, I'm good, but we never pray for it. We never cultivate that fruit. We never pick it when it's ripe and actually be loving to people and actually be kind and be joyful and all these things. Eventually, there's no room for more fruit to grow, right? There's no room for fruit to grow because we're going to be filled with rotted fruit. We're going to be filled with bad fruit. Right? When we're filled with bad fruit. And eventually, we'll wither away and die. So friends, don't be caught fruitless. Don't be caught fruitless. Let's move on to verse 20. It says this. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Okay, first of all, I don't know why the disciples were so surprised. Okay, because they've seen him perform all these miracles, right? And what happened when Jesus was with him on them on the boat, and there was a big storm? You guys remember that? Wow, ways back, and Jesus was sleeping on the boat, and they were caught in a big giant storm. What happened? The disciples were freaking out, right? They thought they were going to die. They're like, Lord, help us! What's going on? We're going to die! Our boat's going to tip over! All these things! They're freaking out, and they're trying to wake up Jesus, and Jesus is like sleeping. You know what I mean? And he's like, leave me alone! I'm trying to sleep. He didn't really say that, but you know, he knew nothing was going to happen to him. But these people were freaking out. These disciples were going crazy. And what did Jesus do? He gets up, and what does he do? He calms the storm. And what do the disciples say? Who is this? Who is this man that even the winds and the storms and the rain obey him? Who is this? So you think by this time, after everything they've seen Jesus do, Jesus kills a tree and they'd be like, oh, that's cool. You know, do you think they'd be like, you know, understand? But they're like, who is this guy? I don't know why they were so shocked. But they were shocked. They were shocked. And let's move on to our next point. This goes into our next point. And two parts to our next point. Our first part is cut off bad fruit. Okay? Part one, cut off bad fruit. Let's read in verse 21. So Jesus answered the disciples after they asked him. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believe and you will receive. So here Jesus is saying, hey, if you have enough faith, if I have enough faith right now, I can say, man, you know, if I really believe and I ask Jesus' name, I really believe it, I have enough faith, I can tell that sandy mountain to be removed and to jump into the Gulf of Mexico or the waters of California, you know, because we don't live by water. But I can do that if I have enough faith. Jesus is saying that here, or that tree, if it doesn't bear fruit, you can tell that tree the same thing and say, hey, tree, you're dead. Bam. If you have enough faith, that can happen. Well, there's truth to this to a certain extent. It's a yes and a no. Like we learned, right? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because he was showing them by an example, right? He was showing them this is what happens to people who do not bear fruit. This is what happens to people who don't take their relationship with Jesus seriously, especially people who pretend to be Christians, but they're not really living the life. It's all a facade, meaning it's all a show. They're just playing a part. So that's what we've learned so far. And right now, Jesus is saying, if you have enough faith, ask anything in my name, and it'll be given to you. But what Jesus is saying here, and I don't want to say that you can't move a mountain physically with your words, or you can't curse a fig tree, because I'm not ever going to limit God and anything he can do, because with God, all things are what? So I'm not going to say you can't do that, but I don't think that's what Jesus was saying here. I don't think Jesus was saying you can physically, hey, if you have enough faith, you can move that mountain. I don't think that's what he was showing us right here. Okay? But he's saying, if you have enough faith, if you have enough faith in accordance with God's will for your life, ask in my name and it'll be given to you. If you have enough faith, if you really believe, Jesus says, when you pray, you believe in accordance with God's will for your life, my will for your life, I'll give it to you. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what Jesus' example as he was teaching the disciples about this fig tree and saying, if you have enough faith, if you have enough faith, you can do this. So pertaining to yourselves, if you guys might have a mountain or an obstacle in front of you, what you think is so massive, it's so huge that you can't fix it, that you absolutely have gone to the point of past no return and you can't get away from it. You're caught in a struggle that you're just continuing daily over and over and over. And you may think it's not that bad, but to God it's sin and you're still doing it over and over. Maybe it's pornography. And you're constantly looking at pornography every single day or every once in a while, whatever it is, but it's consistent. Or maybe you are just hate somebody so much and you can't even think of ever loving that person again or even not hating that person ever again. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe you're lying. Maybe you're a habitual liar. You're constantly lying over and over and over again. And you're like, well, I can't stop. I do it so much. It's like second nature. Or maybe you're cussing. You're talking a certain way when you're at school. I do it so much. I can't stop. I'm already on this path and I can't stop. I can't overcome this. This is too crazy. Whatever it is, something like that, you fill in the blank. Cheating, whatever it is. Something that you think in your eyes that you perceive is so big, like a mountain. God is saying something like that mountain that seems impossible to move, okay, so to speak, in your life. If you have enough faith in me to take that away from your life, to remove that from your life, hey, you can do it. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what Jesus is saying. If you really believe that God can help you stop lying, if you really believe and know and trust in God that he can help you stop looking at all these pictures and all these horrible things and all these worldly things, talking a certain way or doing all these things that you may think isn't a big deal. But obviously God says it's wrong. Whatever God says to not do, what does that mean? Don't do it. Because obviously that's a sin, right? Don't do it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you have enough faith, you guys too can conquer something as big as moving a mountain. You guys too can tell a fig tree to wither away and die. Maybe not physically. And again, you know, who's to say God can't do that? Of course, he can do anything. But that's what Jesus is saying here. If you have enough faith, you can cut off that bad fruit in your life because you need to cut off that bad fruit in your life. Because if you don't cut off that bad fruit in your life, what's going to happen? You're going to what? You can die and wither away. And Jesus doesn't want you to do that. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30? He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, what do? Cut it off. You cut it off, not physically. Okay, don't cut off, saw off your hand. But he's saying if you're sinning, if there's a sin in your life, you need to remove that from your life. He says, for it is better to enter the kingdom of life maimed, right? or without an arm than to enter your, than have your whole body be cast into hell, he says. Same thing with your eye. Same thing with any part of your body, he says. Anything causes you to sin, he says, cut it. Remove it from your life. Cut off that bad fruit, because it's so important. Because if you don't, you're going to keep rotting away. You're going to keep allowing that bad fruit to cultivate, and then eventually that fruit is going to keep getting worse. It's going to keep getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse, and it's going to go somewhere you don't want to go. Somewhere you don't want to go. And I'll give you a verse for that thing, like I said a second ago. Matthew 19:26. It says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So yeah, you're probably right. By yourself, you're going to continue in your sin. By yourself, you're going to continue entertaining your lustful thoughts. You're going to continue sinning. You're going to continue lying. You're going to continue looking at pornography. Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank for whatever sin you're struggling with. By yourself, yeah, you're going to keep continuing down that road. But with God, all things are what? Possible. All things are possible. And Jesus is saying, if you have enough faith, he says, you can remove these things from your life. So things that you think are too big for God to do, nothing is too big for God to handle. Nothing is too big for God to remove from our lives. Nothing. So don't sit there and be thinking to yourself, well, this is too big, Rich. This is too big of a situation. God just said, you have a guarantee for God to answer your prayer. It's a guarantee, he says. Ask anything in my name and you'll receive it. Pray about it, knowing that and believing in your heart that he'll give it to you in accordance with his will, and he'll give it to you. And you can cut off that bad fruit. Romans 8:13 says this, if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Did you get that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will what? You'll live. You'll live. So if you're in Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can put to death the deeds of your sin, Paul says right here. You can. But not alone, through God only. You can cut off that bad fruit in your life. And nobody wants bad fruit. Does anybody in here want bad fruit? I want bad fruit. I don't want to rot away and die. I want to be alive. I want to live. I want to live for Christ and produce good fruit. And this flows right into our next point, our second part of our next point, produce good fruit or produce more good fruit. Let's read verse 22 again. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. See that? Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive, Jesus says. Jesus also said in John 16:24, ask using my name, and you will receive, and you'll have abundant joy. You'll have abundant joy. So Jesus isn't saying here that you can ask for whatever you want, like a pony. And you're like, hey, Jesus, I really want a pony. I really want a pony. And you said, ask anything in your name. And I know, and I believe that you'll give me a pony, so I'm going to have a pony. Yes. You know what I mean? Jesus isn't a genie, right? And if you treat God like a genie, expecting he's going to answer your every wish, then you don't really know how God works. Because he doesn't work like that. And again, I want to say too real quick, there's nothing you can't ask God, because of course, he's always there listening to you if you're in Christ, okay? He hears you. There's nothing you can't ask him, of course, but God wants you to ask for the right things. Do you really need a pony? Do you? No? No, really? Do we really need anything aside from what already God provides for you? Right? Because there's things that we want, of course, you know, that we have our desires. There's things that we enjoy in playing video games and stuff like that. But God wants you to ask for things that will help you grow in him. Okay? In accordance with his will. Well, maybe you're saying, well, I don't know God's will for me, Rich. I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what his will is for my life. Well, you can know his will for your life. And I'll tell you in a second. But God says, ask in my name and you'll have abundant joy. Let's go back to that for a second. What's joy? Yeah, happiness. Spiritually, what is it? It's a fruit. Right? Jesus says, ask and you will receive and you will have, ask in my name, he says, and you'll receive and you will have abundant joy. That's a fruit of the Spirit. You'll have joy. You'll be joyful. And that's a guarantee. You can ask for these things, Jesus is saying, and you'll have them. You'll have these fruits. It's a guarantee. And like I said about God's will for our lives, if we pray in accordance with God's will in our lives, Romans 8:26 says this, Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, okay? That the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered except the only one that it can understand basically is God, okay? So that the Holy Spirit's praying for us, he says with groanings, he prays for us ceaselessly, constantly, every day. If we're in Christ in here, the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, he's praying for you every single second of the day. Isn't that cool? That's amazing. And not only is he praying for you every single second of the day, but he's praying for you in accordance with God's will for your life. That's how we should pray, right? We should imitate Christ, right? And like I said, if you don't know God's will for your life, and you're here, I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you want me to tell you what God's will for your life is? I know one of them for sure. Absolutely it is. It's what we've been learning this whole time. God's will for every single one of you in here is to live for him and to not be in sin, to produce good fruit. That's his will for your life. So that's something to pray for. Just like the Holy Spirit prays for that. Because I can tell you, guarantee you, he prays for that. He prays for you. So you pray, Lord, help me to be more loving. Father, help me to produce good fruit. Help me to cut off that bad fruit. And do you know the spiritual fruits, where you can find them, to know what they are? Galatians 5:22, right? Do you guys know them? It's like a song I learned a long time ago, and I used to be in the children's ministry. And you can learn this. But it goes, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit right there. That's how you know what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you ask for these things and not just be like, oh, well, I have joy. I'm joyful, you know, when I want to be, or I'm happy, and I'm kind sometimes, you know what I mean? But if those fruits are rotting away in your life, and you can sit there and examine yourself and say to God, you know what, Lord, I really don't have fruit. I'm really not working on that fruit in my life. I'm not even producing more fruit in my life, and I'm going down a road where I'm withering away. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. God wants you to produce good fruit. He wants you to cut off that bad fruit, and he wants you to pray for those fruits in Galatians 5:22. Read it, 5:22, read it. And you can pray for those things, and you can have those things. That's the type of fruit God wants you to have. And this is the example Jesus was showing us out of this whole passage, these five verses. There are people out there. Maybe you're sitting there right now. You're one of those people that are pretenders. Let's say you do one thing here at church. You're a completely different person, but then you go to school and you're cussing. You're going to school disrespecting your teachers. You go home and disrespect your parents. You're looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. And it's all fun. It's all good, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt. Well, who's getting hurt? Not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting God. And that's not what God wants for you. Like I said, I was one of those people, real quick, as we end. I was one of those people for a time, okay? And right after my parents got divorced, after my senior year, I fell away from God. And I went away for about a year, fell away. And I started partying, I started drinking, I started smoking, I started cussing, I started doing all of these things that I knew was wrong, and I was doing it anyway. One time I was at a party, okay? One time I was at a party, and you know, doing worldly things, whatever. And one of my friends walks in the door. Her name was Deidre. I grew up with her since kindergarten. Really good friend. I'd known her a long time. I saw her and I was like, hey, Deidre, what's up? I haven't seen you forever, blah, 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 you know, and all these things. She's like, hey, what's up? How's it going? And I was like, you know, I haven't seen you in a long time. Where have you been? You know, how come I haven't seen you at church? I can't believe those words even rolled from my tongue at that second. But I said this, and then she's like, oh, you know what? I'm not about that anymore. And I was like, why? Why don't you go to church anymore? Why? You used to do so good and you used to love the Lord and I would see you all the time. And I'm like, well, I don't do that anymore. I'm standing there telling her these things with an alcoholic beverage in my hand, asking her why she doesn't go to church anymore. How dare I? Right? Who did I think I was? I had no business telling her anything, right? I was a pretender. I was a person who said, I love the Lord, yet I was saying, but I love these things, Father. I love you, Lord, but I love doing these sinful things, and I love being sinful. No wonder she didn't go to church anymore because of people like me, because of a pretender, a faker, a masquerader. And I had no fruit. I had no business telling her anything. But the point is, it's not how God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be pretenders. He wants us to be living for Him. He wants to be living for Him. And eventually, yeah, God did bring me back. And I got involved in the Bible study. I started going to church again after that year. And kept going to church. And then eventually I started serving in a little place called Velocity. And that trickled down from each thing. Because I didn't want to go back to those things. Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to do these things anymore. I want to cut off these things. Because you said that if I cut off these things, then I can abide in you and I can produce good fruits. Okay, I don't want to be lukewarm. God says what? You either hate me or you what? You love me. You're either for me or you're what? Against me. He says you can't be both. You can't love me and love the things of the world at the same time. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to have any carnality in us whatsoever. Meaning he doesn't want us to be carnal Christians. He doesn't want us to be fake Christians. People who call themselves Christians, you can't even call yourself a Christian if you're doing these things. I couldn't at that second call myself a Christian because I was doing those things. But that's the point, guys. That's the point. I don't want to end this, but examine yourselves right now, okay? Examine yourselves as you're sitting there right now and say, am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing good fruit in my life? And if I don't, if I have bad fruit, ask the Lord to take it away from you. And again, nothing is impossible for God. Matthew 19:26. Remember that. Matthew 19:26. With man, these things are impossible. With God, all things are what? Possible. Nothing is too big for God. So cut off those things. Remove it from your path. And that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you guys have enough faith, you can remove those mountains out of your life. I want you guys to be able to move those things out of your life. And most importantly, God wants you to remove those things out of your life. And He can. I'm a living testimony of it. He did it with me. And He can do it with you. And if you don't know Christ tonight at all, you can know Christ. I'm sorry, it's not tonight. It's the day. You can know Christ today. As I pray, there's going to be leaders in the back. I'm going to be up here. We want to pray with you. We're not here to just, to babysit you and say, hey, be quiet. Pay attention. Because we don't like you and we have to be here. We're volunteering here. Or not me now, I used to. But we want to be here because we love you guys. And we care about you guys. And we want to see you guys producing good fruit. This isn't something we're just giving you because it's a good little thing. This is a life. Lessons. This is a relationship with the living God that you guys can have. And it's a real, real thing. So come to us. We'll pray with you guys, all right? You guys can get right with the Lord and you can cut off that bad fruit. And you can have that faith in God to do it. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that we can, Father. We can look to your example, Father. We can know and believe, just like your word says, just like you said, Jesus. Ask anything in my name, knowing that we'll receive it, that you'll give it to us. You'll freely give it to us. Especially if it's in accordance with your will, Father God. It's a guarantee, Lord. Lord, we know your will for us is to live for you, Father God, to have a real relationship with you, Father God. That's all you want for us. You don't want us to be dead in our sins, Lord. You don't want us to keep falling and falling and falling, Lord. You want to be able to pick us up and be carrying us through this life, Father God, because we rely on you, Lord. We can do nothing of ourselves, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we can take that away tonight, today, Father God, that we can know and have faith in you, Lord, and not be like that fig tree that you cursed, how you were upset with the temple, how you were upset with the Jews, Father God. We don't want you to be upset with us, Lord. Help us to produce good fruit, Father God. Help us to continue to abide in your vine, Father, like it says in John 15. And we will bear much fruit, Lord. We will bear fruit all the time, Lord. Help us to tend to that fruit, Father God. Help us to pray for that fruit, more fruit in our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray for these things, Father God, knowing that you will give it to us, Lord, because we do. We ask in your Son's beautiful name, Jesus, Father, and we believe that we'll receive these things. So we love you, and we praise you, and we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, you guys are free to go. There's going to be leaders in the back you guys will talk to. I'll be up here as well, and you guys have a great day. God bless you guys.